previously on Schooled.
Mom didn't have a job. Pop was locked up. That's just how I grew up.
I was 14, 15. I didn't really care about what I was doing.
I would just go to school and I would just stay in the bathroom and walk through the hallways and just won't go to class.
Got a swashbuckle for these youth. Like, I'll fight for these youth because I know they have a raw deal when they go home.
Are we really in a situation where we can hold students long enough that they can really be prepared?
Welcome back to Schooled. I'm Kevin McCrory. It's early October at El Centro. It's an alternative school in Philadelphia for students who dropped out of traditional high schools. For Joshua Martinez's cohort, it's 2 months away from graduation, and he's practicing his presentation for what the school calls its legacy projects. The idea is for students to develop a project that they are passionate about that is somehow tied to learning standards. Students are given months to work on it, and they can't graduate until they finish it and present about it in front of the entire school. Josh's idea was to develop a personal fitness workshop.
And, like, I just gonna show them the basic exercise and movements and what you can do to start off.
Josh attempted to tie the idea to academics.
My 21st century skills that I would need, communication, because I gotta communicate with y'all.
After the presentation, Josh's advisor, Betsy Weiss, questioned him.
One of the questions on this rubric is, like, how does it stretch you? So, yeah, like, how is it challenging?
Essentially, she was asking, what are you going to do with this culminating project that really shows you're ready to graduate, that really shows you should earn a diploma? It was a good question, one that could have been asked of many other students. One legacy project was about putting together a care package for new moms. Another was about celebrating school spirit. There was another about running a workout class.
So when it comes to, like, what's going to be the most challenging, to me, it would probably be speaking about it. Like, telling people, like, because, you know, somebody might come to me and ask me a question. I got to, like, already know in my head, like, I know how to answer that.
Betsy let it go at that.
Did I answer your question? I feel like I lost somewhere.
No, that was good. Thank you. All right.
But her questions tap into a larger debate that unfolded among faculty behind the scenes. There's widespread agreement that the students at El Centro have faced such setbacks and traumas that they are badly in need of one-on-one support and guidance. Judon DeShields is the principal at El Centro.
That, like, I'm here for you, that is like the driving force, like our cornerstone.
But when it comes to academics, pushing to make sure there's meaningful learning happening in every class, some faculty say the school is falling well short.
Being a bit of a whistleblower, sort of saying this is the man behind the curtain, comes with a certain level of risk.
Kate Wand was in her second year teaching at El Centro the semester I was there.
The integrity of what students actually learn here in terms of skills, in terms of rigor, there's a huge disconnect. Many of our students are graduating on a sixth grade reading level or having not seen math for, like, their entire time being here. And I think that there's something quite problematic about that, you know, that we as a school are failing our students.
Juan says the school's expectations are too low.
We've inflated our grades to give a really, again, a false sense of you're on honor roll. And it's like, really? I haven't been here. I literally had a student that was like, I'm on honor roll, but I haven't been here the last 2 weeks. And it's like, you're still on honor roll. And so
she likened it to cooking the books.
It's a sham. And again, and it's it's exploitative towards our students of saying, okay, we'll come to this place. We'll give you success. We will do this with you. And then once they leave here, they don't have the tools that they need to compete.
Wand has been a teacher for about a decade. She started at charter schools in Brooklyn and Boston. Before this job, she was working internationally, China, South America. When she would talk to some of her peers about her complaints about El Centro, she says the response would have the vibe of, you don't really know what it means to teach a group of high poverty students in a public school in Philadelphia. She gave an example about a conversation with another teacher.
And they said, we need to remember who we're working with. That is like textbook inequity and school to prison pipeline. Because what is it? Because they're black and brown and poor that suddenly that they we don't have standards that they're going to be held to on a larger social context.
When I talked with Principal DeShields about Juan's criticism, he acknowledged the school, like any, could do better. But he questioned her approach for spurring positive change.
If you feel that way, what are you doing about it? And if you're not doing anything about it actively, then you're part of the problem. So I think that's always the gentle feedback I always try and give in response to people is, I'm here to be like a partner with you in that process of making it better. I would rather not dwell on the things that are not working. I would rather get to creating solutions for them. I think there are some people that are willing to do that, and there are other people out of sort of like a need to, I don't know, just the way they live their life, to just dwell in complaints and constantly say, this is what's not working, and this is all I'm going to give you. It drives me crazy because there's so much good work to be done. It's not about like, here's what's wrong. It's about what can we do to make it better.
Beyond the disagreements among staff at El Centro, this dynamic speaks to a larger tension within the education system writ large. The average student in America spends more than 15,000 hours in school, from kindergarten through 12th grade. That comes at a nationwide price tag of more than $650 billion each year. For all that time and effort, what exactly are we saying students should know and be able to do? Every state lays out its academic standards, and most specify that students need to take a certain amount of courses in a range of subjects. But few draw a hard line in the sand. Few say students can only earn diplomas if they can prove their abilities on some objective measure. In most states, students either graduate or don't based on decisions made by teachers and principals. Some say that's a good thing. Leave the state out of it, leave standardized tests out of it, allow the decision to be made by a local professional who knows the full context of a student. Others say this creates a system ripe for underachievement.
Are we being honest with these kids by giving them an empty diploma? Probably not.
That's Donna Cooper. She runs a nonprofit in Pennsylvania called Public Citizens for Children and Youth. Before that, she was a policy director for the state and was instrumental in pushing to adopt a uniform set of graduation requirements. She says without a clear standard across the board, the value of a diploma gets pretty squishy, with students at vastly different levels earning the same piece of paper.
I'm not a fan of giving students who are years and years and years away from what we think would be an 11th or 12th grade standard of education a diploma, because they realize when they're young adults that they've basically been screwed. I was given a diploma, but I don't know anything. And that creates alienation in the system. It creates a lack of belief in the institutions.
Cooper's idea, though, has fallen out of favor. Pennsylvania had adopted a law requiring students to pass what it calls keystone exams in literature, algebra, and biology in order to graduate. But early results didn't look good. And not just at high-poverty urban schools like El Centro. 250,000 students in all sorts of districts across the state were not passing the tests after multiple tries. So the plan was scrapped before being enforced.
And unfortunately, in Pennsylvania right now, a diploma has very little meaning.
Even in states where there are tougher rules on the books for graduation, there are always carve-outs, alternate ways for low-performing students to be shepherded through. Why? In large part because there's not a school system in the country that has solved poverty and trauma. There's not an example working at scale that takes students in deep poverty and consistently pushes them to achieve at levels set by the state. And so if you really hold a high bar for what a diploma means, you face a politically and socially difficult dilemma. Either watch the graduation rate drop, creating a whole new crop of young people without degrees, or work like mad to create better schools to serve students in poverty. Really trying to do that for every student in every school would likely take a gigantic new financial investment. At schools like El Centro, where many students are so far behind, the support system would need to be tremendous. More teachers, counselors, social workers, tutors, even building upgrades.
Like, you want to start talking about, like, you know, is it fair? Let's even the playing field first and then talk about it being fair.
Stephen Schaefer is another teacher at El Centro. This was a frigid day in mid-November. El Centro's heating system is shoddy and often malfunctions. When it's cold and the heat doesn't work, classes are canceled.
I mean, you know, it's cold in here, so I still have my hat and my coat. from being outside. And, you know, if I wasn't going to be typing on the computer, I'd have my gloves on, you know, like it's that kind of cold.
Education funding has gone up consistently in Pennsylvania in recent years, but nowhere near the level it would take to fix crumbling buildings and hire a slew of additional people at schools like El Centro. And even if that were to happen, there's no guarantee it would really ensure that all students would achieve at high levels. So most states do the easy thing, either no firm expectations at all, or expectations on paper with plenty of escape routes in practice. To advocates like Cooper, this means employers should be well aware of what a diploma is and isn't, and that they shouldn't discount the value of an equivalency diploma.
A GED, on some level in Pennsylvania, is more rigorous than any high school graduation standard, right? Because it's clear, you have to pass 5 parts of the GED exam. You got to pass it or you don't get it. And maybe we just do a bad job marketing that.
The reality, though, is that a GED does have a stigma among employers and colleges.
He told me, you know, when I look at a resume to hire people, you know the first thing I look for? I say what? Their name? Their age? He was like, no.
This is Ryan Rivera, an El Centro graduate who is one of the school's biggest success stories. While a student, he had an internship at one of Philadelphia's big energy companies, and he was talking with the company's head of human resources.
He said, I look for the educational level, and I look for if they have a GED or high school diploma. And if I see they have a GED, you know, that doesn't affect if they're going to get the job or not. But, I mean, in a way, it tells me that you quit. At one point in your life, you quit. Granted, you went back. You got it done. But you still quit. You know, he said, high school diploma, you know, even though it may have taken you long to get it, you never stop fighting for it.
Like many El Centro students, Rivera had a tough upbringing. He grew up poor, had bad experiences in public school, and was arrested at 18 for selling drugs.
I sat in that cell and started to realize, like, yo, shit is real now. I'm an adult. If I don't slow down, I'm going to be going to jail, or I'm going to be dead. That was my wake-up call.
He was able to avoid jail time and got his record expunged. Then he went back to school and took advantage of all El Centro had to offer: the close relationships with faculty, the opportunity to gain real-world experience through internships. He earned his diploma at 20, and it opened doors for him.
I work in court, give out subpoenas. Really, anything an assistant would do, I do that for a judge.
Rivera is the first to admit he's never been that strong academically.
I'm ashamed to say this, but I don't know my timetables. I only know, like, my 5s, my 10s, my 1s, my 0s, like, the easy stuff. But the hard stuff, like 8, you know, I think, well, 8 times 8 is what, 16? Something like that. I probably got that wrong. Shit.
But despite what standardized testing would say, Rivera seems to know how to be successful in life. He's a charmer. He knows how to follow direction, how to come through on a task, how to code switch.
At work, I'm not like, yo, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up? I'm going to holler at you. That's not how I talk. I can't talk like that at work. It's not professional. It doesn't look correct. It doesn't look right coming out of my mouth.
El Centro is run by a national organization called Big Picture Learning. David Bromley is in charge of its 2 schools in Philadelphia. He says Ryan Rivera's story exemplifies why the push for test-based graduation standards is misguided.
But I would argue that, you know, kids graduating from high school and knowing how to interact with adults and other human beings in an intelligent way and problem solve with them is going to get them a lot farther in this economy than understanding U.S. history or passing the science keystone test or, frankly, passing a lot of the stuff on the math keystone test.
Bromley thinks the debate about standards gets to the heart of an education question that often goes unasked.
I think maybe the one question that we don't ask in education ourselves enough is, to what end? Why are we doing this? We have standards, but to what end? Like, what are we really trying to accomplish with our high school experience? I think most people feel like it was another box they had to check to move on. I don't think a lot of people graduate from high school feeling like everything that they studied for and everything they did actually taught them a whole lot.
His vision is for students to be able to say this:
I've gotten a better understanding of who I am, deep, deep better understanding of who I am and what my interest areas are. And my post-secondary plan is not just to go
check the next checkbox, but do something that's meaningful for me so I can live a more meaningful life.
But he admits that's a pretty hard thing to objectively gauge.
I think we know it when we see it. It's one of those things, right?
Ryan Rivera clearly has it. And now, to the school's credit, he's an independent man. Reliable paycheck, health insurance, retirement plan. Firmly not in that 20% of young Philadelphians without school or work.
You know, just a little dirty kid from North Philadelphia to where I'm at now is great. It's prestigious. It's like working for a president.
That promise of independence is the reason students find their way to schools like El Centro. They know well the struggle of life being poor and without a diploma. And in a lot of cases, through the eyes of their family members, they've seen the dead ends that can lead to down the line. And so, whatever you think of the diploma debate, students know it's worth the fight, worth being pushed out of their comfort zones. More on that after a short break.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to Schooled. I'm Kevin McCory.
Okay. If you can repeat after me, I am enough.
I am enough.
I trust myself.
I trust myself.
I am enough.
I am enough.
I am a beacon of light.
I am a beacon of light.
I'm a vessel of truth.
I'm a vessel of truth.
I am my ancestors' wildest dream.
I am my ancestors' wildest dream.
This was December's graduating class, just before the culminating event where they would present their legacy projects. Faculty member Madi Morales-Williams huddled the group together to get them in the right mindset.
I am courageous. I am brave.
I am brave.
I am enough.
I am enough.
We are enough.
We are enough.
The event was held at a local community center in a sleek room with a big stage. The entire school would be there to watch, and you could feel the nerves of students like Amanda Zeladon and Julia Grabsky.
My heart is beeping really fast.
Where is it?
A mess.
Why?
Because it's nerve-wracking. It's like 100 people watching me.
Josh Martinez was feeling it too.
I'm good. I'm ready to go.
You first?
I'm lying. I'm not ready to go.
You're allowed to sit here?
If you were scoring the projects based on proof of academic mastery, most wouldn't pass the eye test. But probe deeper, and for people who can have every reason to forget the idea of school entirely, it's hard to miss the signs of growth. For students like Taylor Chubinsky to make it to the end, it's a huge moment.
The school has really helped me a lot, not even just academically, but like socially.
Despite the complications of their lives, 12 of the 16 who started the semester managed to graduate. They racked up enough internship hours, got their assignments done, finished their projects. Even if it meant students like Amanda Zeladon had to overcome fears of public speaking.
And it just made me like become more outspoken and just outgoing in general.
Even if it meant for students like Anthony Hackett fighting the urge to quit.
I have a big self-doubt problem, and sometimes I get overwhelmed with all the assignments. And sometimes I just be like, you know, it's too much work for me, I can't do it, I'm done. Like, and I'll just give up right there, and I won't want to do anything.
For each of the dozen who made it, they'll tell you it was the relationship with someone on the faculty that kept them coming. People like Stephen Schaefer, Betsy Weiss, and Kate Wand. For Josh, as he said at the end of his presentation that day, it was Doug Cox.
I know that I can be stubborn sometimes, and I can be lazy in my work, but I can be very persistent when it comes to something that I do want to do. And I just want to give all thanks to every teacher, especially you, Doug.
It's very good for him. It shows perseverance and that, you know, he had a hard time, but he didn't make it happen.
Don't walk up with the dumb. Don't do it.
On graduation day, the room buzzed. Janelle Williams couldn't get over the fact that her son Justin made it.
Finally, something that we never thought would happen, or
it seemed very slim at times. It's here. It happened. My boy graduated. So, yeah, I couldn't be more prouder of him.
Cheering on Josh were his two older sisters. Melinda is the one who also graduated from El Centro.
When you're low class, there's no money for things or family to be there for you the right way to push you through it. In El Centro, they're family. They push you through it.
Ariana beamed with pride.
You know, all we really have is each other. So, you know, we motivate each other and we just try to keep each other out of the cloud that we've been through growing up.
Josh, in a crowd of his peers, didn't want to reveal too much of what was going on inside.
I'm not a sentimental boy, that's all I'm saying. You know, I ain't sentimental, you know. I'm as hard as a rock. We don't break. But, you know, they're my sister, you know. I got mad love for them. That's all I'm going to say.
At the end of the school year, some major changes were afoot at El Centro. Principal Judon DeShields decided to resign to focus on his PhD and his family.
I'd like to start a family and know that if I'm giving 100% to this, I don't feel good about giving 75% to that.
DeShields wasn't alone in leaving. All told, the end of the year marked the largest staff turnover in memory. Some left, some were asked not to come back. Kate Wand was leaving because of new rules imposed by the school district around certification. She certified in Massachusetts, not Pennsylvania.
I don't see myself as like, how can I stir up some stuff? I never have thought of myself in that way. The trouble coworker or the trouble colleague or whatever sort of like title I might sometimes fall into is like, often is working towards advocating getting the organization back into alignment with its own mission, into its own values. Just holding a mirror.
Juan's efforts, though, don't seem to have been made in vain. David Bromley, head of Big Picture Philadelphia, acknowledged that leadership has long known and planned to act on issues at the school. Moving into the next year, he said teachers would have more training and stronger oversight, and that classrooms would be more focused on learning targets.
We want to get closer to developing this competency system where we can say, these are the key pieces that are going to best launch them when they graduate.
Yo, come on, slow down.
You're check
moving
me.
Too, you're moving too fast. you in check, son. Slow down.
Oh, but wait.
Slow it down.
Got you.
Slow
I got
down.
You.
I know.
It's going to happen, though.
You're too hype.
Despite the changes at the school, one constant is Doug Cox and the Dark Knights. Every semester, Doug finds more students to join the club. Students like Marquand Smith, who, like Josh Martinez before him, didn't thrive in the typical school system.
Yeah, I got kicked out. Cause fighting.
But students who, through chess, start to see a new endgame, a wider view of the horizon.
And then I came here, it got better. Started playing chess, started winning trophies. Life got a little bit better for me.
As Doug said to Josh Martinez and his classmates at graduation, it's that prospect of character development, of progress, of hope, that keeps him committed to a life of service.
That's why I teach. That's why I put in the work. To let young people know that when you come into contact with me on a daily basis, you are respected, you are powerful, you are the sole controller of your destiny. They cannot steal your education.
Schooled is produced by WHYY in Philadelphia. Today's episode was written by me, Kevin McCrory. It was edited by Naomi Sterobin. Charlie Kyer engineered and mixed the audio. Naomi Brauner is our intern. John Musoni is WHYY's Assistant Vice President of News. Sandra Clark is the Vice President. We'll be back next week with a new episode that takes the long view on a no-excuses charter school. We check in with students more than a decade later.
This is my school?
This is not what I'm used to.
We don't know what we're getting into.
I feel like I was starting a completely new life.
It was brainwashing.
It's kind of like child abuse here.
I know for a fact that if I went to a different school, that I would not be the same person that I am today.
For more on the El Centro story, including great photos by Jessica Corcunis and Kimberly Painter, visit whyy.org/schooled.